Well, good morning to all, and welcome to our guest who join us here today for the offering of this Mass here at the Madeleine. Please know that this coming Tuesday for us in Tulsa, in the city and in the county, is an election day, primary, but also elections for mayor, sheriff, and so on, some important positions. So I encourage you to know the candidates, know the issues, and then go and vote your Catholic conscience. The bishop's elect ring is ready, as well as his crozier that he has made. His ring has been made by one of his brothers, the jeweler. They've taken their deceased mother's wedding ring, incorporated it into his bishop's ring. On the interior of the ring are the words, "Jesus, I trust in you." And if you're familiar with the Divine Mercy Chaplet, you know where those words come from. He will be ordained our next bishop this coming Wednesday afternoon. There are prayer cards in the vestibule, and really, if nothing else, he is photogenic. He takes a really good picture, big smile, happy bishop, and we want a happy bishop. You're like, what some of you men say, Mary's like, yeah, happy wife, happy life, you know, happy bishop, happy diocese, happy priest, so all for the good, so. Please know that the events of this week, whether it's the Vespers at 6:30 on Tuesday evening at the Cathedral, the ordination at the Reynolds Center at the University of Tulsa on Tuesday afternoon, or the Mass of Thanksgiving on Thursday evening at 5:30 at the Cathedral, all these are open to the public. But it is going to be first come, first served. And so if you want to come, try to be there early. The ordination will be live streamed, at least an audio of it, on St. Michael Catholic Radio. If for those who are not able to be there. Those who are coming to the ordination are asked to bring canned goods or non-perishable food items that will be donated to Catholic Charities. The doors will open at 11 p.m. There'll be a priest available to hear confessions from 12 noon to 1 p.m. And because of this schedule, I will not be available to hear confessions either on Tuesday or Wednesday as I normally do. And there's no Wednesday evening Mass either. Our congratulations today go out to two of our parish families, the Filers and the Todds. We had a doubleheader baptism yesterday morning. So we welcome Nelson Filer and Amelia Todd into the body of Christ through water and the Holy Spirit. And we pray that through our lived witness to Christ, that these two children will become faithful disciples. It being now officially summer, there are a great many people who are on the roads or in the air traveling to different places for different reasons. Among them is my sister and my brother-in-law and their two children. They are on the road this week. They are visiting family and in different states, in Missouri and Indiana. They're also checking out potential colleges. Their oldest will be a senior in high school, so my sister and brother-in-law, they have reached a point in their parenting that they are now facing those issues. Now, there are challenges to traveling, particularly in the summer. Some of the things my sister has posted on social media shows almost as many photos of them being backed up in traffic somewhere as they are pictures with cousins and grandparents and so on. There are challenges to travel. Sometimes it's that being backed up in traffic. Sometimes we take a wrong turn. Sometimes there's a breakdown. Some travels are short drives, maybe just the weekend to the lake. And others are much longer, like halfway across the country and back. Today's gospel reading, we hear about the beginning of a trip, a journey. It's not a summer vacation. It's not to go visit relatives. It's not to check out potential locations of higher education. This journey is to Jerusalem. And for Jesus, it is a one-way trip to the cross and to the resurrection, into which Jesus invites us to follow him. Now, last Sunday in the gospel, we heard Jesus ask that question of his followers, "Who do you say that I am?" And the response from Simon Peter was, "You are the Christ, you are the Savior." And Jesus then says, "Good, Right answer, now take up your cross and follow me. Be my disciple. And today, in today's gospel from Luke, by the way, marks the pretty much the halfway point of Luke's gospel, in which we're told Jesus resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem. There are some other translations that basically say that he sets his face like flint. And now Jesus begins to lay out, in no uncertain terms, what it means to be a disciple. We hear that today. We're going to hear it the next several Sundays. What it means to take up that cross and follow him. He's giving us lessons in discipleship. But in this journey as disciples, as the church, there are challenges as well. There are difficulties that can prevent us from making that journey, to faithfully, freely choosing to be disciples. And some of these we see in today's gospel. Among those challenges is anger. Jesus and his disciples are refused hospitality in a Samaritan village. Remember, there is some serious bad blood between the Samaritans and the Jews. And in response, two of the disciples, James and John, recommend some good old-fashioned retribution, calling down fire from heaven to destroy the people in that village for their lack of hospitality. Now remember, James and John are among those fishermen from the Sea of Galilee that Jesus is called to be disciples. They're referred elsewhere in the Gospels as the sons of thunder. And maybe this kind of attitude is how they got that nickname. Yeah. Disrespect Jimmy and Johnny at your own risk. They play for keeps. But Jesus' reply is that disciples, true disciples, don't take revenge. They don't do violence in the name of religious righteousness. The mission of the church is to share the gospel message. And if it's spit back on our face, then it's spit back on our face. We don't retaliate in kind. One of our seminarians for the diocese recently related to me an experience he had not long ago here in Tulsa. He was driving back from some event, and he was wearing what we call clerics, kind of the priest shirt, that particular collar. At a certain point in seminary formation, we encourage our men to begin to wear those in public even. And he was driving in traffic, and he was driving safely. He didn't cut anybody off, and a vehicle passed him, and they looked and they saw what he was wearing, and people in that vehicle, I put it delicately, they waved at him one finger at a time. They related that to me, and I told him, get used to it. There are some people who respond that way to a public display of faith. Not often, fortunately, but that can happen. But we don't retaliate in kind. The cross that we carry as we follow Jesus is about reconciliation and conversion, not about destruction and punishment. There is no place for vengeance as disciples. Another challenge that we face to following Jesus is a natural desire for comfort and security. Jesus tells his disciples that animals will have a better living arrangement than those who follow me to Jerusalem. To be a disciple means to be prepared to be vulnerable, be willing to experience hardship, to sacrifice for the sake of the gospel. We heard the example today of the prophet Elisha, one of those great Old Testament figures, who when the prophet Elijah, another great Old Testament figure, throws his cloak on him, basically signifying that you have now been chosen to be my successor, he calls him to leave behind the safety and security of the life he's known. We're told that he's out plowing his family farm with 12 yoke of oxen, these beasts of burden attached to the plow. Now, 12 is an important number. It's a sign of the 12 tribes of Israel, but also it's a sign of his life up to that point. To have that many oxen plowing your field at that time and place is a sign of wealth. And with it, the security and the status and power that come with it. And Elisha freely chooses to leave it all behind to follow Elijah. Leave it all to serve the Lord. We hear something similar to this in the life of St. Francis of Assisi. Now, he didn't have a great big barbecue made out of the oxen from his family, but he did quite dramatically literally strip himself of all that his family had given him. All the wealth, all the status, all the power. And keep in mind, Francis' father was probably one of the wealthiest men in that city, if not in that entire region of Italy. And Francis gives it all up. All that security, all that comfort, to be a disciple, to carry the cross and to follow Jesus means a willingness not to play it safe. It means to be more than a cultural Catholic. It means to get out of our comfort zone, to freely make moral and ethical decisions that come from our faith that are formed by being disciples, that we make because we are disciples, no matter how difficult the decisions may be, no matter how unpopular they may be, and even if they're spit back in our face. This last Wednesday was the memorial of two English saints, two martyrs from the 16th century, St. John Fisher and St. Thomas More. Thomas More is my confirmation saint. He was a layman, a statesman, a jurist, and a close friend of King Henry VIII, but when Henry wanted to make himself the head of the church in England, Thomas said no and lost his head for it. One of the things that More said, he said, I do not care very much of what men say of me, provided that God approves of me. That's the attitude of a true disciple. Not conforming to the social, political, and cultural world and the pressures around us. Another challenge to following Jesus is to follow, but only do it halfway. When it is convenient to do it so on our terms, it's so easy to come up with excuses. To exempt ourselves. I'm too busy. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm not smart enough. I'm not holy enough. Being a disciple is to be the top priority. And not some kind of a halfway measure. Let the dead bury their dead. Set your hand on the plow and don't look back. This is what Jesus is saying, that being a disciple is a top priority. And if you make that a top priority, then the other responsibilities of life to family and to others, they'll be fulfilled. Under that one great responsibility to carry the cross, to freely be a disciple, to freely be the church. We're told about freedom today as well. For freedom, Christ has set us free so that stand firm and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. That's what St. Paul tells us. And freedom should be understood not in a political sense, nor in the terms of the liberty to do what we please, or the freedom to define our own reality, but rather the freedom to choose to be disciples. Free to take up the cross and follow Jesus. Free from, as St. Paul puts, the desires of the flesh. And this includes, but is not limited to, sexual immorality. It includes fits of rage, bickering, envy, jealousy, selfish rivalries, drunkenness, etc., etc., etc. That endless pursuit of power, pleasure, status, and wealth. If we give ourselves over to these things, over these desires of the flesh, then we're not free. We're not free to be disciples. We're not free to carry the cross. We're not free to follow Jesus. We are not free to be the church. But the blood of Christ on the cross frees us from this slavery. If we're willing to pick up the cross and be disciples. Freedom to live in the Spirit. And the fruits of the Spirit, Paul also talks about, is our love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faith, and chastity, to live these values in the world, even if they're spit back in our face. This is what Jesus calls us to the cross and to freedom. Freedom to be disciples as we are fed today with His very body and blood, soul, divinity in the Eucharist. Free to be disciples. Free to be His church.